I'll tell you what. I've taken up golf a little bit again. I brought a golf partner with me today. Matthew's over there, and we're going to check out the Fertile Golf Course right after church or soon after lunch. How about it? Is it a nice course? Is it hard? Is two balls enough, or will I need more? Probably. Matthew, you have some extra balls in your bag? Okay, good, good. It's a beautiful golf course. Every time I drive through Fertile, I say, I need to play that course, and this is a perfect opportunity. It's not going to rain, so we're going to have a really good time this afternoon. Now, do you know the difference between a membership in a country club and membership in the church? To remain a member in the country club or to play at their golf course, you pay the fees, you pay your dues, and they serve you. You can participate in all the events that they have available to you. You can eat there, and they serve you. To remain a biblical member in the church, you give abundantly and you serve without hesitation. That's from a book called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. It's a fairly popular recent book. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the church is not a country club. One of the ongoing questions that you should ask yourself and ask God in prayer is, how can I best serve my church? You should never ask if you should be serving your church. If you're a member of the church, you need to be a functioning member. Now, this is what we do back in Thief River Falls. As I say, I work a lot in the recruiting area of Christian education, and we do a survey every spring called Everyone in Ministry, and that's so that we can recruit people for the Awana ministry and the youth ministries and the Sunday school services and the nursery and the children's church and the kids' time worship ministries, and we have actually four worship teams. And then you have to have ushers and greeters and sound tech people back there. And we ask people to be involved in other areas. And it just adds up to a lot of people. And I'm thankful for what we have in Thief River Falls, the number of people that are interested in ministry. But I don't think it's 100% yet. It's not everyone. Now, let me clarify everyone for just a moment. Everyone in ministry, really? Well, yeah, every member should be involved in ministry. And when I say member, I'm not necessarily talking about member of the local church. I'm talking more about membership in the church universal. If you are a believer, you should be involved in ministry. Now, if you're not a believer, there may be someone here this morning, you need to become a member of the church universal. You need to become a Christian. If you're not a believer, you're not really on the team. You may be able to do some good things now and then, but your goals, your mission may not exactly be the same as the mission of the church. Now, if you are a member of the church, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you need to be a functioning member. Now, this is what I get. You know, people are busy. They have a lot going on. They have family lives and all this and that, and I get all these excuses. So what I've got for you here is 10 excuses, may or may not be valid, but we're going to put them up on the screen. They're basically 10 excuses why people drop out of being a Sunday school teacher. All right, number 10. When I took a spiritual gift test, teaching never showed up, so I'm joining the golf quartet. Amen. Number 9, I feel the Lord wants me to spend more time with my own kids, quality time, starting this weekend at the lake, right? Number 8, now that my husband and I are retired, we don't want to be tied down on weekends. Anybody there for that one? Number 7, I'd rather fall asleep in bed than at the kitchen table preparing my lesson. Has that ever happened to you? Number 6, I believe it's time I sacrifice and give others a chance to exercise their gifts. Have you heard that one before? Number 5, I'm wondering if it's a sin to work so hard on my lesson, Sunday being the Sabbath and all. Not really. Yeah, number, what are we, 4? Last Sunday's sermon on time management touched my heart, so I'm rearranging my priorities. Not what I like to hear. Number 3, Tommy started playing soccer and all his games are on Sunday morning. Really? Do they do that in Fertile? Play soccer on Sunday morning? It's kind of creeping in to Wednesday nights at our place, and sometimes on Sundays as well, especially during basketball season. Number 2, I already have a full-time job. I think you ladies are going to love this. Let one of the stay-at-home moms do it. They have plenty of time on their hands. Anybody wanting to shoot me down already? And number 1, this is my favorite. Ever since the Lord blessed my class with the Stormster twins, I feel called to another ministry, any other ministry. Do you have the Stormster twins in your church? Yeah. So, we have all these excuses. They're not valid. And I propose that we strive, yes, for everyone in ministry. And we have excuses, but maybe we need some motivation to help us overcome some of those excuses. I'm going to start with something that's just, you've heard this 1,000 times, the Great Commission. You know these verses. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's what it's all about. This is one of my favorite verses, 2 Timothy 2:2. I've kind of held on to this verse ever since I went to seminary. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, will be able to teach others also. And that verse tells me that it's about more than growth. It's about multiplication. I'm going to brag for just a moment. I listened to a message by the new president of the Evangelical Free Church of America. You all know who that is? Kevin Complin. Do you know where he's from? Thief River Falls. Yes! We've got the new president. I've met him on a number of occasions. Well, I listened to his speech at the recent Evangelical Free Church National Conference. I wasn't able to go to California. Did Dennis go? But my Pastor Bruce went and Pastor Trevor both went, and they had these messages online, so I listened to one of them. It's all about multiplication. It's a big job we have, multiplication. God has given us a grand purpose. I think of the football coach, Vince Lombardi. You all know Vince. Some of you are too young to know who Vince Lombardi was. A great coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he won championships there, and he came to the football team. They met together in their meeting room the first day of practice. And it's said that Vince Lombardi held the football out to the team and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Well, you would think these guys knew that already, right? They've come through junior high school, college football, now they're professionals, and Vince Lombardi starts by saying, "Gentlemen, this is a football." The Great Commission, church multiplication, is our football. It's the basics. It's where we start. It's the main thing. So don't ever forget the Great Commission. I want to look at another passage, and this is the one that was in your bulletin as today's text, so we'll spend a little bit more time here. It's from Acts 16, 6 through 10. I think we have that up there too. Go to the scripture text. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." I want to point out just first off in verse 6, "And they went through the region of Phrygia." That's Paul and his companions, guys like Silas and Timothy, guys that you've probably heard about on their second missionary journey. Now, I'm going to put a map up there. Do you have that map? The plan was for Paul, to visit and strengthen the churches that he had planted in the province of Galatia. Let's see if I can find that. See, there's Galatia. You know, some of the books of the Bible are written to towns. Most of them are. But Galatia is not a town. It's a region. And they were going to go back to that region and try and strengthen the churches and then go on and try to plant new churches. They had hoped to take the gospel to this unchurched region, but verse 6 back in Acts says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Somehow, the Spirit made it plain to them that they were not to go into the southwest part of Asia Minor. So that's, again, this, there we go. This region here, they were forbidden to go there. The next thing they tried to do was to go to Bithynia, located on the south side of the Black Sea. So there's another region up there. They were going to go up there. But again, it says in verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So the missionaries skirted the region of Mysia and came to the seaport of Troas. So there's Mysia. They end up over here. You can see the line. That's how they went. And so it's very evident to me that these missionaries were sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Had they followed their original plan, they would have been stuck in what's now modern-day Turkey, and the gospel wouldn't have spread any further. Have you ever had a closed door? They say that, you've probably heard this before, that if God closes a door, he opens a window. Well, in this case, he closed a door and closed another door and closed another door and finally opened a window. That's when we come to verse 9. Paul has this vision of a guy from Macedonia. You see verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." If you have a Bible, your heading for this passage probably is called the Macedonian Call. Now, there's a hymn in the hymn book, Send the Light. Have any of you ever, do you ever use a hymn book in here? Because we don't use a hymn book very often in our church anymore. But how many know the song Send the Light? If you remember it at all. And there's this one verse that goes something like this. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. I'm not going to sing anymore. And you can say thank you for that. But how many of us sang that song wondering, what in the world is the Macedonian call? Well, this is it. This is what it's all about. Macedonia, can you get that map back up there? Macedonia is over here. So there at Troas, come across to over here, and it's toward Europe, not Asia, still further away from Jerusalem. It's still new territory, and it's the first effort of church planting in that region. Verse 9 again says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. This is the heart of the message today. If the Macedonians needed help, then they would go to Macedonia. And we see their response in verse 10. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, it's interesting. We have that passage up there yet. The verses aren't labeled, but you can see an interesting change of perspective between verse 8 and verse 10. In verse 8, the narrative said they went down to Troas. And then in verse 10, it changes to we. You see in verse 10, we sought to go on to Macedonia. So the narrator includes himself now in the narration, in the action. Well, does anybody know who wrote the book of Acts? It's not... Exactly. And if you compare the first verses in the book of Luke and the book of Acts, and I think I have Acts 1:1, it says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Well, what was the first book that he wrote, which would have been the Gospel of Luke? So Luke is the narrator. He's the guy that wrote the book of Acts. And now the author of Acts meets with Paul in Troas. And I'm not sure who joins who. Did Paul and Silas and his team join Luke, or did Luke join Paul and Silas? Nevertheless, they joined forces so they could minister in Macedonia. And that's got to be encouraging. How many of you are farmers? If you have a task to do, well, let's say it's scooping something. I used to scoop corn. My home state is Nebraska, and we scooped a lot of corn. Well, anyway, if you have a lot of corn to shell, we were doing jobs. It's always great if somebody comes along and starts to help, isn't it? Isn't it? My wife works for the Thief River Falls Education Foundation, and they send out newsletters every once in a while. They have 8,000 newsletters that they send out to the graduates of Lincoln High School. And they used to do this in our own church building. We have a good relationship with Lincoln High School. We're only a block away, and we sometimes use their building for certain functions. And they use our building for certain functions, too. And they were using one of our rooms to do this newsletter. What they have to do is they fold paper, then they tape it, they label it, and all this kind of stuff. It's a lot of paperwork. My wife's job is to recruit volunteers to help to do that. They were meeting in this room, and since it was in our church building, I always wanted to go down there and see how they were doing. Well, my real reason, honestly, was I wanted to get a cookie. My wife gives cookies to the volunteers, and I was hoping that if I went down there, I could get a cookie. Well, I went down there to the room, and there's all these mountains of paper on all the tables, and people are, you know, weary from it, and they think when I come in that I was there to help. Well, they got that wrong. I was there for the cookie. But later on, I earned the cookie because my job was to carry the newsletters to the transport vehicle. So I earned my cookie nevertheless. But isn't it always encouraging when somebody comes and helps to get a job done? Well, that's the way I feel when somebody comes up to me in church and says, Pastor Mel, I would love to help in that ministry, in this ministry. I say, hallelujah. I mentioned all these teams earlier, 4 different worship teams, ushers, greeters. We have hall monitors in our church and Sunday school and children's church and kids' time and nursery, and then Awana. We have about 25 people that work with our Awana clubs. And then junior high and senior high is another 15. There's probably 50 people serving as volunteers on Wednesday nights, which is kind of cool to think about. Well, it's like I say, when you're looking for that many people, it's extremely encouraging when somebody says, Pastor Mel, I want to come and help. I want to come and help. Well, that's what happened here. Paul and Silas joined forces with Luke. We're back at the map. You can see the results of what Paul and his team did. They were very successful in this journey. They planted several churches in Macedonia. You got Philippi. Well, I don't know. You can probably see them. Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica. Do those names sound familiar to you? They're Bible books. These churches were important in the growth of the early church, and they enjoyed a long-term relationship with the apostles. And, of course, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, how many books were written to those 3 churches? I gave it away. 5. 5 Bible books were written to those 3 churches alone. Think about, if you read on in the book of Acts, which is always a really cool book to read, some of the stories we read about, like in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in prison, and the Philippian jailer is about to kill himself, and they end up leading him to the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. That's in Acts chapter 16. In Thessalonica, we read, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. Isn't that interesting that the the gospel writer Luke included a few prominent women in that verse. Look what he does in chapter 17:12. The town is Berea. Many of them therefore believed, not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Great results because they went where God wanted them to go. So the history of the church, the history of the world was forever changed because of the God-given dream known as the Macedonian call. Now, if nothing else, if we learn nothing else this morning, we learn that this passage teaches us to seek God's direction in our lives. Closed door, closed door, closed door, open door. Now, what was your last big decision? You don't have to tell me. Just think about it. Was it a purchase? Was it a job change? If you're a recent high school graduate, or maybe you're going to be a senior, your next big decision is going to be, where should I go to college? Your decision often has to do with, where do I live? Where do I live? The question is, did you seek God's direction in making those decisions? Or did you make it on your own? See, Paul looked at this new change of direction as an opportunity for an open door to share the gospel. Where do you live? The people around you are your opportunity to share the gospel. That's how Paul looked at it. He prayed for boldness, and he was directed by the Holy Spirit, and he had great results. I wonder what God has called you to do. What has God called me to do? What work in the church has he called you to do? And what would fertile look like if every opportunity that came along your way was taken advantage of by every person in the church? How many people live in Fertile? I didn't notice. Your church isn't big enough. You need to build on, right? I'll tell you a little story. In Thief River Falls, we built a church that supposedly holds 500 people. That seems big. It doesn't really hold 500. New Folden, just north of us, also, the free church there built onto their building, and they built an addition to their worship center, and it holds 400. And you know what the population of New Folden is? 400. So you built way too small. And maybe we did too. You got to have that vision to reach the people where you live. Well, let me give you one more passage toward the wrap-up of our service, our sermon today. It's from 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Amen. Christ's love controls us. Christ's love urges us. He died enough. He loved us enough to die on the cross for us. Are you convinced of that this morning? Convinced of the gospel? This is the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. You believe that Jesus died? They didn't break his bones. He was dead. There was going to be no resuscitation in the tomb. He was dead. And he was buried. And they posted a guard around that tomb of professional soldiers. That body wasn't stolen. If somebody had stolen it, they could have found it and disproved the resurrection. The truth is, Jesus rose from the dead. He was raised. He was seen by many people on many occasions, and by 500 all at once. It couldn't have just been an hallucination. So, live for him. Live for him. He died for all, that those who live might not no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Our service is in response to live for Jesus. That's our purpose. That's the football. That's the basics. Now, a big part of my work is working with children. So I'm going to bring something from a Barna report, a nationwide survey by George Barna, suggests that if a person does not accept Christ as Savior by the age of 14, the likelihood of ever doing so is slim. The data shows that 32% of U.S. Christians received Christ as their Savior when they were age 5 through age 13. Your children's ministry is extremely important. It goes on to say young people ages 14 through 18 have just a 4% likelihood of doing so, and adults over age 19 have only a 6% probability of making that choice. Is children's ministry important to you, infertile? And that's not to say that youth ministry and adult ministry isn't also important. The study also points out that children and adolescents are most impacted evangelistically by family members, peers, Sunday school, and youth programs. Your church's children's and youth ministries, and adult as well, family ministries, are extremely important. We need to respond as the people in the book of Acts did. After receiving the call, Paul and his companions responded immediately and sought to go where they were called. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor Mel, we know this here in Fertile. We've heard this message before. But anytime you hear a message, the main thing is to put it into practice. You know, my two boys played basketball. One of them played a lot. He played, started 3 years for the Prowlers and went on to play at Northland. And I was kind of involved in their basketball program. I got to know the coach a little bit, and I tried to understand what he was trying to coach the kids to do. And he taught me what they do, you know. Any basketball players out there? Yeah, all right, I got your attention now, don't I? You were almost asleep, and now you're awake. My boy was only 5'6", so you don't have to be really tall to play basketball. Although he was lightning quick. He still is lightning quick. Good ball handler. The coach would coach the guys to bring the ball down, and the first thing you can do is look at the rim. If you have an open shot, shoot the ball. But that probably isn't going to happen. So the next thing you do is if you see the post guy, you try to pass it to the post. If he's open, he might have a better shot than you. You pass it to the post guy. But if he's guarded, you're told to pass the ball to the opposite side, to the opposite guard over here. And then the play can start over on that side of the court. So it's real simple. Rim, post, opposite. Three words. Now, can you imagine the coach getting the guys in the locker room and saying, guys, here's the play. You look at the rim. If that's open, shoot it. If that's not open, look at the post guy, and if he's open, pass it to him. And if that's not open, pass it to the opposite side. Rim, post, opposite. Got it, guys? Okay, you can hit the showers now. A coach wouldn't do that, would he? A coach would say, let's practice the play. Let's get out there and practice, you know, first maybe without a defense, and then he would put a defense in, and they would practice the play over and over and over again until they got it right. Ladies and gentlemen, don't just hear the play. Don't just hear the call. put it into practice. And I trust that the people here in Fertile will understand how important the Great Commission is, reaching people with the gospel of Christ, and then understand what your call is. For Paul and Timothy, it was the Macedonian call, and for Luke. But not only that, we follow that call in a way for us to live for Jesus. I trust that that is the case here. I'm thankful for all the people in Thief River Falls that are involved in ministry, and I trust that that's the case here as well. Let's look to God in prayer. Thank you, God, for allowing me to just come here to Fertile today. What a great opportunity to enjoy this community and this church and see the blessing that they have with this new building and the growth opportunity they have to reach the city of Fertile and the surrounding region here. I pray that as we come away from this service, that you would convince people where they need to serve, guide and direct as you did back then, even if it requires closed doors, but show us the open door so that we might learn to serve you and go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.